Dude, I Googled you, and the vice president of Golden Boy Productions is named Roberto Diaz. So I was like, do I have to call him Golden Boy from now on? You know, the Oscar De La Hoya group?
Maybe, why not?
Yeah, I was like, I think he's a perfect Golden Boy.
And this is Will Wilcox.
There you go. There you go. Yeah!
Jim Renner on the 15th hole. His third shot, you bet.
This is episode 5 of the Tier Time podcast with Will Wilcox and Jim Renner. Renner is not joining us tonight. He's got a tummy ache, but he'll be back next week. But I'm very excited to have Roberto Diaz from Veracruz, Mexico, and a good friend of mine that I've known since 2007. When I transferred to Clayton State, and you were USC Aiken. So y'all were the powerhouse.
But you were the power dog.
I enjoyed Division II a lot more than Division I. I represented more at Clayton State. It's weird how I had to demote myself before I actually figured out how to play golf. But anyways, thank you so much for coming on, dude.
That was good. I mean, thanks for the invite. That's awesome. I mean, as you said, we've been competing since 07. It's been a while. I mean, it's been almost 15 years.
It's crazy. And I miss being out there, you know. I've been practicing more. I just got to get that flat stick working the way you got it going. You still been rolling the pill as good as ever or what?
Yeah, I mean, ever since I started working with Ramon Bescanza, the perfect putter guy.
Yeah.
I mean, that changed my career, you know.
You're religious with that thing.
Yeah, he's been a great mentor for me, and he's been awesome. I mean, you competed against him on the Hooters tour, and I'm sure you remember. But yeah, he pretty much did a 180 of my career, and I'm very happy that I got to meet him. And you know, ever since I met him, my career started taking off. So it was great.
Yeah, dude. I mean, I remember when you started bringing that little device out, I was always pretty fascinated with it. I didn't really understand it necessarily. I mean, is it more just like a touch thing? Like you gain better feel, or is it like a reading greens thing, or like,
yeah,
it's not mechanically with your stroke, right?
No, it's nothing mechanical. So it pretty much teaches your eyes how to read greens.
Yeah,
because, you know, 95% of the people think they have a bad stroke, but they never read the break properly. You know,
they might
aim the putter a ball out, and actually the putt breaks 2 cups. So they're going to miss it every, I mean, even before they hit it, they are going to miss it. So if you don't read the greens proper, you know, properly, you're going to miss most of the putts. So
yeah, who cares if you had a perfect putt?
So yeah, we started working with it, and we figured out that I underread everything left to right, and I overread everything right to left. So I always tend to pull them. So I was better off making left to rights than I was making right to left, because I always pulled it. So we started working on that, and then with green reading, it became more about aiming, and then how to aim, and then speed, and then last thing was technique. We tweak a couple things.
Just like setup stuff, or is it like wrist break, or like what did you do?
Just setup, you know, the way you set up and the way your eyes see the putt, and then you just go ahead and stroke it.
Yeah. That's, I mean, you know, it's a fairly simple concept. All right. So you're more of a dyer now, like are you doing max break and having to drip in the top edge, or like
Tiger Woods again? I like to ram it in. So if I'm going to miss it, I'm going to have a 4-footer coming back.
Yeah. Which that's obviously a breeze for you. Well, cool. Well, that's interesting. I mean, I should have bought one of those things back in the day, because I probably used my alignment or under reading putts or whatever. But I think I saw at one point like 4 coaches in a 5-week period, and I was like, this isn't going to work. But anyways, so you're from Veracruz, Mexico, born in 87. I'm just curious about what it's like, you know, what was like growing up in a beach town? Like, are the beaches good there, by the way? Are they nice?
Beaches are good about 40 minutes north of there. and 40 minutes south. So we're right on a port, big port. So there's a lot of ships coming in and coming out. So the water, it's kind of dirty, but it's beautiful. I mean, you go offshore, like, you know, 2-3 miles and you get some great islands and you get some great, like,
Caribbean, you know, blue looking water.
Yeah. 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 It's in the Gulf, but you get some Caribbean blue and you get some very cool spots. So, growing up in a beach town was great. I mean, everything was laid back. Everybody was friendly, you know. I mean, you lived in an island for a couple months and yeah, you know how it is, you know, island time all the time. And
yeah, like, no, relaxing,
no rush. You know, it's very easy to find guys to go have a beer, and it's very easy to go get in trouble, and it's very easy to go and get a tan. So yeah, I mean, we grew up very spoiled. The coldest it got during the whole year was about 70. Nice. And it was always above 90. So
just perfect when it came weather every day.
When it came to golf, it was kind of tough because we only had a 9-hole course.
That was what I wanted to ask you. Like, what was the golf setup when you were growing up?
Yeah, we always had a 9. I mean, we only had a 9-hole course, and we had a par 3 course inside the golf course. So, I mean, when I was little, I just went around that par 3 course like it was nothing, you know. Like, I used to play 45 holes a day. The longest hole was 90 yards. And we just like looked around and looked around and looked around. So
marathon golf.
It was great. I mean, I grew up with a great set of guys and, you know, we had fun games, good gambling since I was little. We gambled for a soda every time we played. And whoever lost bought the sodas at the end of the day. And, you know, it was competitive. Everything was competitive since I started. So that's what I like it.
Are you the, most accomplished player from your town, I would assume?
Yeah, there's another guy that he's going to be right behind me. He's very good. He just got into Latin America. He's very good. He's going to be, I think he's going to be soon on the Corn Ferry, and he has a lot of game.
Nice. And was he a D1 guy? Like, did he play at a pretty high level?
Yeah, he went to OU. And then he transferred to El Paso. So he played a bunch in college and he was ranked very highly. And, you know, he did the whole D1 kind of stuff that you and I wouldn't know.
No, we didn't get that special treatment. You know, we held our own in the Peach Belt. It was definitely the best conference in Division II. I love the way the Mexican golf's going these days. You know what I mean? I mean, you got Ortiz and obviously our boy Abe and yourself. And Fraustro had a good run. And it sounds like you got a buddy from Veracruz that's coming up. So, I mean, you know.
Yeah, it's been good.
Jose de Jesus El Camarón.
Jose de Jesus, I mean.
God, I love that guy.
He was your guy in Canada too. I mean, Abe and I actually talked about you on Saturday. We had a 18 hole match and we talked about you. I told him you invited me to the podcast and he was like, "Oh man, I didn't know he had a podcast."
Yeah. Me and Rena. It's a fledgling podcast at this point. We're only five. You're their fifth guest. And I had that nice drive, nice five where I did like 14 episodes, but I really wanted to, you know, Renner's a trip, you know, Renner.
Yeah. He's a beast.
He just cracks me up. I hate he isn't feeling well today, but he's just one of the funniest guys, like accidentally.
Yeah. He's hilarious. I mean, I saw him at the Floridian Member Pro and it was a riot. He was so good. You know, like we had fun. He's a good guy.
I always wanted to play in that Floridian event. Do you ever go to the one in Naples over there at Calusa?
No, never.
Never done that one?
I heard he's good.
Yeah, everybody always hits that one too. And then the Seminole one obviously is pretty sick.
Yeah, but I didn't get the invite.
I never got it either. I'm not bragging or anything like that. But yeah, so you turned pro in 2009 and we fought it out on the Hooters Tour for a few years. How long did it take for you till you got status? I forgot. It was like 12 or 13 or something.
I got status on 14. So I went to finals on 13 and then I got status on 14. I graduated 2009. So I didn't play my first 6 months. I went back to school to finish my degree. That was one of the deals that I did with my dad. Good. He told me if I wanted to play pro, I needed to graduate. So I wanted to turn pro after my first year, and it was kind of like up in the air. And he's like, no, yeah. you just got to graduate. Once you graduate, you can do whatever you want. So
yeah.
we decided on that, and I had to go back to Aiken to do 7 classes my last semester.
Oh, brutal.
So that was fun. So I didn't play much golf that semester, and I turned pro. I turned pro that summer, played 2 Carolina Series Hooters events.
Yeah.
And just got my feet wet. And then I went to, I didn't have scholarship my last semester because I came in January of 06.
Okay.
So I had to go back to school, and I did the whole, just like a normal student my last semester. And it was fun.
That'd be a little different environment, not having to play golf every day. What'd you get your degree in? Are you like a business guy or what?
Yeah, business management. I don't know anything about business. Yeah. So, but yeah, I did graduate in business. So I haven't used it.
Yeah, Hey, but it's there. I mean, I don't think you're ever going to need it, but it's there.
I just make sure that I make more than I spend every year. So that's the key rule. Yeah.
Yeah. I was chuckling earlier about your email situation. I was like, this is a professional golfer. It's exactly how it works. You know, who needs the email?
Yeah.
I love it. Like, now that I'm like not playing as much, I have to be a little more in tune with my emails. Like, cause if I'm like, whatever, like running a tournament or doing, you know, junior clinics, or I've been given a lot of lessons, so I gotta act somewhat professional, you know.
how is that working for you?
It's pretty good. I mean, I got, you know, if I do 10 lessons a week, which I've been getting pretty close to that, you know.
Nice.
It's fine. I mean, you know, and in the junior tour, I work 60 one-day events a year, and you know, it's just like helping kids, paying it forward. You can't beat that. Who's going to turn their nose up at that?
Yeah.
So yeah, I enjoy it. My dad started a junior tour 17 years ago. So, we've got like, you know, north of 500 members. So it's good.
Wow. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. It's good to help the kids out, and the parents appreciate it. And, you know, I love to just shoot the breeze with the parents, and they, you know, obviously know I played for a living for a while. So they're all like taking pictures with the kids and stuff. So it's
that's
a little,
awesome.
Little ego boost on Saturdays.
Yeah. So you show them the tour life or no?
I mean, like as much, I talk to them as much as I can. And I mean, I find myself like giving advice during the rounds, which is a no-no, but I mean, half of them I teach. So, but yeah, I've definitely divulged many tour stories to the families.
That's awesome.
I keep them PG 13 when I'm talking to the kids, so found myself in some funny positions when the crew I was running with out there. But yeah, I've slowed down now. Everything's a little more relaxed in my life.
Nice.
Not sending it like I once was. Dude, I saw I Googled you. And the vice president of Golden Boy Productions is named Roberto Diaz. So I was like, do I have to call him Golden Boy from now on? You know, the Oscar De La Hoya group?
Maybe. Why not?
Yeah. I was like, I think he's a perfect Golden Boy. But yeah, dude, I just wanted to, I mean, I guess first of all, just talk about last year. I mean, you're about to defend in the Chitimacha in Louisiana, and you played so good last year and made, I know it was over a 2-year period, but you made so much money. It's wild to think that didn't earn a card. And I mean, I don't mean to pour salt on the wound, but it is something that was, you know, you played so well and you were right on the cusp.
Yeah. You know, it's the nature of the game, you know, obviously it was a very tough pill to swallow.
Yeah.
The months leading to the last event were very stressful because I wouldn't lock my card. I was very close. I was making a lot of cuts, just not playing good on the weekends, finishing 50th, 48th, 52nd. And that doesn't give you enough points. And I don't know if people know, but it's not about money anymore. It's about points.
Yeah.
So that was very stressful at the end of the year. I ended up missing the cut in Utah, which that was a very, very tough pill to swallow because I shot 6 under the first round. And then
cut so deep there, it's ridiculous.
I shot 6 under the first round, and then the second round I started a little shaky, and then I got it back to like even. Then I made a really good birdie on 9. Then on 10, I missed a 4-footer for par, which, you know, is not usual. And then I birdied 12 to get back to even. And then on 13, I hit a really good wedge shot, which I thought it was great. And the pin was tucked 4 from the left. Mm-hmm. And it was just over a knob, and I hit the sprinkler head.
Oh, and that's a dog leg right? Right.
Yeah. And I hit it way over the green, made double. And now I was, fighting the cut. And then I didn't birdie the par 5 coming in. And I ended up hitting another sprinkler head on 17, which is very rare that you hit 2 in a day. I made bogey and my hopes were, out.
Wow, that's crazy.
I ended up missing the cut by a couple. And that was a very tough pill to swallow. I remember my wife and my kid came to that tournament and we just couldn't believe it. You know, we went to Park City to hang out on Saturday with my caddy, with JP, and the three of us were in awe. Like, we couldn't believe what happened.
Yeah.
It was kind of crazy. And then I go to Omaha and I drove it awful. I mean, I didn't deserve to make the cut. I knew the first day that I had to do something magical to make the cut and compete for my card, but I ended up hitting like 5 fairways in 2 days and missing the cut by 1 or 2. And
wow, scrambled like a genius.
Yeah, I hit 3 greens the first day, shot even, and then the second day, just the grind. You miss a couple putts coming in, and you miss a cut. I flew to New York, knowing that I was going to miss my card. I was working with a guy in New York at a time, and I went there. Right after the round, I mean, I finished playing at 12. It was a flight at 2:30, and I knew I missed my card. I was like, all right, I was sitting 25 and people playing well. I was like, all right, I'm gonna miss that chance. And then I went to New York, worked for 4 days, flew to Boise, and in Boise, I was playing good golf. I mean, for as bad as I was playing at the time, I hung it together pretty good. Shot like 7 under to make the cut, and then on the weekend I shot like 3 under on Saturday, playing with Aaron Rye. Aaron shot like 10 under.
Oh yeah,
and I felt like I shot a million, you know. But I was still in the tournament. I was you need to finish like 7th to get your 2 card
for sure.
So on Sunday, I played with Sean O'Hare, and I started off pretty good. I made up a 9-1, birdie 2, birdie 4, birdie 5, birdie 6, birdie 7.
So I was you're like 15 five, under or something.
I was like 5 under through 7.
Yeah, then but I, for the tournament, you're deep.
Yeah, I bogey 8. So I look at the leaderboard, and I'm like tied for 6th, you know? And I'm like, all right, just keep playing.
Let's go.
I birdie 10, par 11, par 12, bogey 13,
par 3.
Bogey 13, par 14, birdie 15. And I'm like, all right, sitting great. And I hit a really good drive on the next. I had like, I don't know, 210 to the pin. And the shot that I've been fighting all year came on that hole, and I hit it way left. And
really?
My second shot. Yeah. I made
it a hook or a pull?
It's like a pull hook. It was
hook.
Yeah. So I made par there, par 17. And then on 18, I had a really good number to that back pin.
Yeah.
You know, that,
it's gnarly.
And it was very dry, very firm. And I told JP, I was like, hey, you know, we either go for it and make birdie and get our card right now, or, you know, we play safe. So we tried to play safe, and the ball just never stopped. And he went over the green, made bogey.
Yeah.
And that bogey put me from like 13th to 21st.
God, that day it was a debacle. Everybody went over that green, especially Aaron Rye, obviously.
And that was tough. And then the next week, you know, I finished with a bogey on 17, the last tournament, well, the in Ohio. Scarlet.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I double 17 the third round, and then I bogey 17 the fourth round, and I finished 20th.
Oh, those are two such solid finishes to start the
rounds. So I was projected like 17th. I knew I had to play well in Indiana, but I was still fighting the driver. I was still scrambling a lot, and I
tough shot, course for that.
Yeah, I shot 76 on Thursday, and that was it. You know, like wow. I knew that I had to do something special on Friday. Didn't make it.
Yeah,
and I was waiting, and I waited all time, like all day on Sunday, and I finished 26 or 27. Same thing.
That list and those finals is so volatile. If you miss a cut, you drop like so far, because during the season, you're used to dropping maybe just a little bit, 2, 3, 4, 5 spots. But then in those finals, one year I finished 36 in the regular season and then 32nd in the finals. And it was just like, you just sink once you miss a cut or finish 50th. That's crazy. Well, we don't have to talk about that anymore. I was rooting for you so hard all year, and I mean, I was probably rooting for you more than anybody else, of all my friends that were near the top. So it was just like, man, I was really pulling for you. But I know your game is just primed for the tour. You're driving it well again, right?
Yeah. I made a lot of changes during the off season. They're starting to come along. I played good at the beginning of this year, just nothing special. Made 4 out of 5 cuts.
You finished 18th?
18th in Abaco, yeah. I played good there. Played solid. I played solid in Colombia too, just didn't make any putts. And then in Florida, I played bad on Sunday to finish like 48 or 49. But yeah, the game is trending. Obviously, it's a patience game, you know, you have to be patient. You have to work on the right things. I played a lot with Abraham here in town.
Cool. You've had a couple weeks off right now?
Yeah. 3 weeks. Yeah.
3 weeks, 3 weeks. So did you do anything revolutionary in the off season to get ready for this year? Or like, what kind of changes did you make? Just setup stuff, or what did you do?
Yeah. Just a lot of setup, I have to create space on at impact. I don't have a lot of space at impact. I'm a very stocky guy that don't create a lot of space. So just working on that, just working on creating space and trying to get more on top of it instead of like sweeping it, you know?
Yeah. So you're just trying to trap it a little bit more. What like space wise, like you're trying to extend your arms more at impact, or like you just don't want to be like your hands so low? Like, what do you mean? Like when you're coming into the ball,
I don't want to early extend before I hit. So if I early extend, I run out of room and I flip it.
Yeah.
And that's what brings the left, you know, the left pull with the hook.
So,
I mean, you know, you play for a living and you killed it on the mini tours and the Corn Ferry and the PJ tour. So, you know, you can't play with a two way miss.
No, you can't. And when I would aim left, and you know, you're hitting the little squeezer into the fairway finder, when that one goes left, when you're aiming left, it's like, oh God, we've dug ourselves a hole. And then the old Ric Flair is just frightening. But anyways, that's awesome. I mean, I think when you're making cut, you made 4 out of 5 cuts. That's 80%. Who's going to argue with that? I mean, it just obviously things are going pretty good. I mean, I'm excited to see what you do at the Chitimacha.
Yeah, I'm excited too. I mean, you know, it's one of those deals that if you just keep grinding, it's going to happen. And I'm excited. You know, I keep saying it. I keep telling my wife, I'm like, if I turn this around, I'm going to have a monster year.
Yeah.
Because, and I even Abe told me on Saturday, he's like, man, you're very close. Yeah. It's like, you're hitting it different. It's coming off different and you're close, you know, like, and I know how to play golf. I mean, I'm not scared of that. You know, I know that I don't hit it like brim 320. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
but I play with Brem in Colombia and our games are so different, you know, and he was like, man, you're close, you know, I texted with him yesterday and I was like, hey, congratulations. And he's like, yeah, you're close.
Yeah,
just give him hell, Just
What did he play, like two or three Corn Ferries this year? Getting ready for his final start.
Yeah.
I mean, that was ballsy, dude. How cool was that to watch him win with his wife on the bag last start? Obviously a cool guy, super mild mannered. And, but like, are y'all pretty good buddies, or was it you just got paired with him down there?
No, we play since college. We got paired together in the university games in Thailand in 2007.
Okay.
And since then we never really chatted in the off season or anything, but when we see each other, we kind of like say hi.
Cordial. And, close in age. Wait, not the same age.
Actually. Same age. Yeah. We talked a lot. He played the Hooters tour when we played with each other there. And you know, we got in the Corn Ferry same time. Then he got his tour card and I didn't. Then I got the tour card, he didn't, and stuff. So we're about the same generation, you know. And in Abaco, we had some beers after the round, and he was telling me he was getting ready for the last start for his minor.
Yeah.
And I told him, I said, man, just go ahead and win, you know.
Win. Is that what he said?
I told him, yeah. And then in Colombia, we got paired together, and man, he was driving so many greens, dude, in that little course, you know.
You played the other course?
No, we played together in the big course. Okay. And he drove number three, he drove number four,
he drove number three.
Yeah, he landed on the green, and then he drove four, and then he like nine iron into eight. I hit five and hit nine iron. Mm. And then, you know, he shot the easiest 64, I think I've ever seen. You know, he was like, I never thought he was seven under. And then all of a sudden, like, oh, yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
And I told him, I said, just go ahead and fucking win.
You're trending, bro. What's a guy like that hit off one? He's got to be hit like a two iron.
Less than that. He had like six iron, and then he had like a nine iron or something. And then on two, he towered over the trees on the left. He had like wedging.
And just faded a little bit.
Nah, he was hitting bombs, dude. Bombs. Yeah, yeah. High bombs.
And, I would love to see Brandon Matthews strike a few at that altitude.
I heard that's impressive too. Yeah. I play with him in Abaco in Exuma. And he was out driving me with his two iron. It was fun.
It's absolutely absurd, that guy with the speed. I mean, he's been playing so good and the Latino America Tour. So, I mean, like, he's obviously trending, but I mean, to win that, was that the third start?
Yeah. Fourth.
Yeah. I mean, to just throw it out, like, that's ridiculous. I was super jealous while y'all were in Panama. I know that. I always enjoyed that week. Was that course in okay shape this year?
It was very firm. They didn't water at all since Tuesday, and it got pretty gnarly at the end. I missed a cut on that one, but it was a good test. I mean, I didn't play bad the first day. I shot four over, and I felt that I played okay.
Yeah.
And then I shot two under on Friday, almost made the cut. But yeah, that was a good test. That was the best test out of the first five for sure.
That's the Corn Ferry's Bay Hill, maybe, because it's always around like 10 under out there, you know. I mean, it's like, it's a course that you look at and you're like, there's nothing going on here. And then the next thing you know, the ball is just bouncing like it's on, you know, the interstate. But yeah, it's like so yellow on that golf course.
And yeah.
You know, half the time there's a fire out in the jungle out back and there's soot coming down on you. But I love that week. I didn't miss like the stomach aches you get when you get a bad piece of chicken, but I always ate at that pasta joint up the hill of the Italian place and I always got sick. But whatever. Since the Veneto closed, that place hasn't been the same.
No, I never went to the Veneto.
You miss that little party?
I never went. No, I always stayed at
the It was open. Marriott.
Yeah. But yeah. I always stayed at the Marriott right across the street. And
yeah.
I'm not a big casino guy in South America. I don't like those casinos. I feel they're rigged. So
Yeah, I'm not a big like casino guy either, but like I just followed the crowd into it, you know. I mostly hung out at the pool at the El Panama though. That was always good stuff.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
But all the hotels are just, I mean, like they're just incredible down there, and they're like it's 110 a night to stay in a like a 5-star.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah. Last time I was there, me and Andy Pope watched a UFC fight from my hotel room. And it was like right out on the little like blue area right outside the El Panama. And we got, I mean, we had the best seats looking right into the octagon, and it was just like some local deal. And it was badass. And so we just watched people kill each other all night from the comfort of the hotel room without having to pay for admission. Episode 5 is brought to you by Sub 70. They're rated number 1 in direct-to-consumer golf club brands. I absolutely love their product, and they hopped on board this week, and a listener is going to win a putter. All you got to do is follow all our Twitter accounts at Jim_Renner, at Will Wilcox Golf, at Sub 70, at Bobby Diaz. Follow those accounts, retweet the episode when I tweet it out, and the funniest and most random comment wins a brand new putter. Use the hashtag TierTimeSub70. So enjoy and stay dear. So I really am interested in hearing about this World Cup finish that you and Abe had in what, 18?
I was 18, yeah. The 18. End of 2018.
I mean, was that field crazy stacked or what? I mean, it had to be just a pretty tough field that y'all played so well against.
It was tough, yeah. So I regained my tour card in Boise of 2018. I lost my card in 18, and I went to the playoffs, and I got my card back in Boise. And he called me right after I finished. And I was on the last group. I was close to winning, and I missed a very short putt in 16 again. And I finished fifth. It was like a big tie second, and I finished fifth, solo fifth.
Yeah.
So he called me right after I was done, and he's like, "Hey, man, I know you don't want to hear this, but congratulations, great playing. Let's go play the World Cup together." And I was like,
"Is that because you were the second highest ranked in the country?"
Well, Carlos was the second highest, but I think Carlos was going to take a honeymoon with his wife or something. And he called me. He's like, "Let's go play." I was like, "Sure." We played every practice round together. We always take on matches with people. Yeah. We can say that we haven't lost many times.
Yeah, in matches. You two guys probably ham and egg the shit out of it.
So he's like, "Let's go play." And I'm like, "Yeah, let's go." So it was during, I had to miss Sea Island to go to Australia. And
no big deal there though.
It was a big deal because I was in the shuffle.
Yeah.
So I didn't play.
Yeah. So that's the last event of the fall.
Yeah. So I didn't play good at the beginning of the year. And then he called me. He's like, "Hey, if you don't want to go, don't go. Go play Sea Island." I was like, "No, I got a commitment with you. I'm going."
Yeah. Yeah.
So I went.
Playing for your country.
Yeah. So when I got there on a Sunday, and he was playing the Australian Open and he won.
No big deal. Yeah. Oh, that's right. God. And Dale, I remember that was so awesome watching that picture.
So he won. And then when he won, obviously he became a crowd favorite.
Yeah,
because he won the Aussie Open, and when he flew into Melbourne, we thought we were going to fly under the radar, but everybody was on our side, and we had a good strategy. Dale's awesome. He helped me with my confidence. JP was there too, helped me with my confidence, and we started playing, and Abe was balling. I mean, he was balling. So I felt that I didn't have to get on the way.
Yeah,
that's the only
thing
that I had to do. So first round, he played awesome. I contributed a couple holes that he didn't birdie. So we showed like 8 under.
So it's just best ball though.
Yeah. First round. And then the second and last round are alternate shots.
Okay. Yeah. That's legit.
And we are we have similar games. We did it about the same distance, and it was never a hole that I would hit driver and he felt uncomfortable hitting the yardage that we had, or that he hit driver and I didn't feel comfortable with the yardage he had because we hit the same distance. So, I mean, we pretty much played like our own game. And the second day was very tough conditions. We shot two under alternate shot and we skyrocketed that leaderboard.
Sure. I mean, anything under par in alternate in bad conditions, especially is impressive.
And then we shot seven under again on Saturday. We got in the last group.
Was it alternate the rest of the week or just?
It was best ball, alternate, best ball. And then on Sunday, we played on the last group with Belgium. They had a 3-shot lead on us. Yeah. And we balled.
Is that Wiesberger?
No, it was Thomas Peters and Thomas Detry.
No big deal.
So it was fun. Mm-hmm. And Abe had the crowd going and we started like everybody called Aussie Abe and they had songs for him and then Dale got the crowd going a couple times and I started making putts from everywhere. Oh, it was fun. It was a lot of fun. We finished second, so it was a big deal.
Yeah. I mean, how many countries are represented there? I mean, is it like 80 or something? Like, I don't even know how the World Cup works.
It's like 25. So I think it's 25 or 26. I think it's the best 26 ranked players in the world in order.
Yeah.
The first 26 countries and the best player picks a partner.
Okay, cool.
So, I mean, it was a stacked field. It was Sean Lowry and it was, I mean, you name it.
It was just a bunch of European tour ballers.
Yeah. It was, you know, I think Alex Noren played, Arm played, who else? Detry, Peters, who else? Thomas Levy. It was a big deal.
He's from France.
Kutcher. It was a big field. And
that's sick.
We flew under the radar all week, and then at the end we cashed second, and it was great.
And it was a home game almost for you guys because they were
with
just
Abraham.
Pulling for you guys. That's so sick. I hope Dale's doing all right. I haven't talked to him in a little bit. I should reach out and say hello. I guess is he just in Calgary right now?
Yeah, he's in Canada right now. He's getting everything figured out to come back to the States.
Yeah.
Hopefully he has some good news coming up soon, but
I hope so. Dale, you know, he was a good player in his own right. I mean, the dude's he drops it in the slot pretty hard. And he was playing in Canada when I played out there in like 2010 or something. Did you play up there at all? Or did you just do the Latino tour?
I just played the Latino tour a couple of years, but, I never played a lot of tournaments. No, I played like 20 events.
Yeah. I saw you had some seconds or something down there. Didn't you have a runner up or two?
I did. Yeah. I lost in a playoff and then playoffs and me don't get along. I haven't done well in playoffs. It's just but
the draw.
So yeah.
Who flags it or who makes a bomb?
I lost a couple. I lost one in the Corn Ferry, one in Latin America. I lost a couple in the mini tours. So. Oh,
God. So you do have quite a little record there.
Yeah.
If you're in the UFC, you'd be out.
I know. I want to be like Willie Will.
Yeah, I've never been in. I don't think I've been in a playoff. I did play one on the Hooters tour. Yeah,
I think I played with you the week before you won Valdosta.
Yeah,
or you or that,
in like
that
Midland,
you,
Texas, or something.
No, I think I played with you in Monticello Hooters tour.
Oh yeah, that's right. The first 2 days, I believe, right?
No, the last day, and I think Sunday, and then you shot like 63.
Yeah.
And then finished second. And then you went to Monday into the Valdosta tournament and finished second there.
And it was UGA where I finished second. I won Valdosta a couple of years ago. But yeah. It was, that was a wild ride. That Monticello tournament was, I mean, that was the shit. The Savannah Lakes one.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was I played in a playoff with Pat Kazire there one year. He was the first to tee off, and he just hit it straight OB right on the opening tee shot. And now, you know, he's made $15 million on the PGA Tour. I played with him where he couldn't find a ball for the round, and then you see him on TV, you know, and he makes 60 of 60 inside of 10 feet and finishes solo second. You're like, okay. I texted Patton after he finished second in the Safeway one year, and I was like, dude, how do you roll it so good? And he said, go to your nearest Chinese restaurant and order the egg rolls. I was like, that doesn't help me at all. But no, Patton's the shit. Those Hooters short days. I loved playing out there. We had Wolf. I almost got Wolf on here tonight, by the way, Chris Wolf.
What happened?
Well, he's busy, and I was going to reach out to him and be like, hey man, you got a laptop and Zoom and stuff. But, that would have been pretty funny. That would have made you laugh. He's doing good. He's in Georgia. I talked to him like twice in the last week. But anyways, we were on the Hooters tour, and it was a bunch of Southern guys, and everything was great. And the next thing you know, you're playing in an international field on the web.com tour. I can honestly say I was like, I don't really like this. I was like, I don't like that this happened. I was like, I was with all my buddies last week on the Hooters.
Yeah, it's a different life. People don't really get how lonely it's cutthroat.
You know? Like, it's kind of cutthroat.
And how lonely, you know, like people are very selfish, and you need to have a different kind of chip in your head in order to play professional golf. I mean,
he gets very uncomfortable.
He gets very lonely. The weeks are long, very repetitive. You know, you have to do the same thing every day, play the same course, everybody's serious. I mean, you don't really see a bunch of guys joking around during the round, you know,
like pretty tedious pace.
Yeah. I actually have to slow down because I play a little too fast.
Yeah, so you're just standing around way too much.
Yeah,
I guess it's like you could maybe do what these young guys do, and they start getting ready for the shot when it becomes their turn. Yeah. So instead of having the information already, they just start their process. It's like,
yeah, the other day I counted with my caddy. We counted. I'm the I think there's only 11 or 12 guys older than me on the tour now, and I'm only 35.
That's crazy. The average age when we first got out there was much higher.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think last time I played with JB Holmes, he told me he was the youngest guy on the PGA Tour when he got there. He was 23 years old, and he was the only other guy that was under 25, and the average age was like 33 or 34.
Yeah.
And right now, the average age is like 26.
That's ridiculous. Yeah. Is that just the restructuring of everything, like Q school? I don't know what it is. I guess it's just this new crop generation of young guys are just sick.
They are good athletes. They hit it long ways. They get very good information when they're young.
Yeah.
They're
built like linebackers when they arrive too.
Yeah. They know how to play golf too. You know, it's not like they're getting there without knowing how to play golf. I mean, with all the information we have now, I mean, you just got to follow the process of decade, and you got to follow the process of, you know, stats and where to hit it. And that's it.
Yeah. I mean, they kind of make it more of like a numbers game. I mean, it is a numbers game now. So they know their exact spin rates and everything's perfect. I couldn't have told you within 1,000 RPMs of what my spin rate was when I turned pro. You know what I mean? I was like, I don't know, 5, is that good? I mean, you know, but in fact, it was in like the mid low twos. But like, it's amazing how everybody knows. So like, I need to tip my driver another inch or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, I just, I don't like the way the equipment is now. It's a little too knuckly for me. And everybody's launching it at 12 at like 1900 spin.
Yeah.
I've bitched about the club change in a while, but what are you swatting? Are you still hitting the Callaways or what?
Yeah, Callaway. I don't have a contract, but I still hit the Callaway irons and the Callaway driver.
I think going non-contract on the Korn Ferry Tour is a pretty good move, just so you can just be happy with what's in your bag.
Yeah, I mean, it's not enough money to marry a company. So I mean, I hit whatever fits me better.
Yeah.
I mean, I have a TaylorMade 3-wood. I have a Sirixon 4-iron, I think. I mean, it just depends, you know. Yeah. Depends what you like, and depends how you hit it.
Yeah. Are you hitting that triple diamond head, or what are you swatting?
Triple diamond, yeah.
Nice. Is that thing just hot?
It's hot. It's hot and straight, which I like straight. I don't know how hot it is out of my hands, but
I'm sure your ball speed's got to be. Does it ever sneak up in that 170 range?
Come on, dog. If I get to 163, I'm doing great.
Nice. Well, I mean, it's going laser straight, so who cares? Are you hitting draws? What's your ball flight right now?
Right now, are you draws? I'm working on a draw. Yeah.
Yeah.
I like to draw it, but you know, mostly pretty straight. I tend to hit it lower on the lower end, as you know.
Yeah.
And if I keep it in the ground, like if I keep it straight in the ground, it just rolls forever. So that's how I get my distance.
Yeah, think about that tumble.
Spin rate under 2300 and just tumble.
Yeah, that's a good. I mean, in the summer it gets a little weird when, you know, it's obviously so wet everywhere we seem to play in the summertime.
Yeah,
that's why you've done well at Panama, I believe, before. But I would have figured you'd have balled out there.
I finished second there 2 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, I would have put all my money on you in that event. But I mean, whatever. You get such weird breaks on that course, but. But yeah, I'm excited to see what happens the coming weeks. Do you have a bunch in a row now? What's the schedule? Is it all over the place or what?
Yeah, we play Louisiana. Then we have a new event in Lake Charles.
Oh, that's it. Yeah, that one got washed out because of the storm one year.
Yeah, and then we go to Savannah, which is a great spot for me too. I love
deer,
it.
Deer and then farm. I love that one.
And then we have a week off. We play Dallas.
Yeah.
Texas Rangers golf course.
That course, what a birdie fest that is.
Yeah, we go to Huntsville, but I got an exemption into the Mexican Open.
Let's go.
So I'm gonna play that one.
The Mexican Open being, is that a PGA Tour event?
It is, yeah. Yeah, that's, it is.
Is this the World Golf thing?
No. It used to be a World Golf thing, and then They moved sites, and they're in Puerto Vallarta now.
Nice.
Which is, it's on the beach, and it's just a regular field event.
Cool. That was the one that you played in Mexico City a few years back.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the same event, just not done with World Golf Championship.
Yeah.
That's sick. So it'll be a good purse.
I think so. Yeah. I haven't checked, you know, I don't want to get overly excited because obviously my goal is to get in the top 25.
Yeah.
But, you know, you can skip a couple things if you go win that one.
Yeah. A little, cash infusion, you know, at the very least, Puerto Vallarta.
It's on the West Coast. It's on the West Coast. It's right on the water. It's beautiful.
Nice. Well, congrats on getting in that.
So this week that you have the Players Championship going, how many times are they going to show your hole in one there?
I don't know. I hardly think about it. I mean, they sent me a cool like collage, and then when I see it run across the ticker, that's always pretty cool. Not that I'm watching the Golf Channel much, but people screenshot it all the time and send it to me, and I'm just like, yeah, it was 6 years ago now. Just like, I can't believe what a long time ago it was, and it just is crazy. Like, I got to play in that event, but now the purse is $20 million. And if you finish 11th, it's like 500K now. the year I played, it was 11 million. It's just like, man, I missed it by a couple of years. Like, shit.
What did you finish there?
I finished 70th. I finished 70th. Let's see. So we, you know, I made the hole in one, and then I had like 20 people there with me, like everybody I'd ever met from my hometown, and they all kind of came down. And, you know, then I was out in St. Augustine till these twins came up to me, and they're like, oh my God, you're the hole in one guy. That night, I was just like, okay, we're not going home until late, I bet. But then they lost the greens on that Saturday. They turned up the sub air. They were expecting high humidity and low winds, and they got the opposite. And then their greens rolled like a 17. So nobody in my group broke 80 that day.
Nobody.
Hud Swafford shot like 80, and that was sick. And then I think Freddie Yock shot 84 and I shot 82. And then that was when Ken Duke rolled in with a 65 and was 14 shots clear of the average for the day, which was 79. Yeah. He broke it by 14, which is like, that was the best round of golf I've ever seen. But yeah, Players Championship week, I definitely get a little misty watching, you know, when they show it. I'm just like, damn, I wish I could go back in time just to like soak it up more and not do something stupid like going out that night. It's like, oh God, young Will, I just love to choke him. Well, anyways, well, I'm pumped. So you got your 59th tour start at the Mexican Open in a few weeks. That's going to be super sick.
I'm pretty excited. Yeah.
I got a couple warm-up events going into it.
I tried to play it cool, but I'm super excited. I mean, it's a big opportunity for me, you know, like, yeah. Obviously right now I see it more like a business.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you got to get very serious.
It's a very good business opportunity for me. Obviously now having a kid and having a wife and a house and all that, you know, golf is second, but it's my business. Yeah. So,
You're investing in yourself.
I always treat it very serious, but now having a family, obviously golf becomes second in line. Yeah. But it's my business and it's my project.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, and everything, you got to think of it that way. The travel, everything is just an investment in oneself.
That's right.
So I don't want to get like too personal, but how old's your son now? I mean, we haven't spoken much in the last few months.
He's 15 months. He's 15 months this month. Yeah. He's running around. He's walking now.
Was he like a November 2020 baby or something? What was it?
December 2020.
Yeah. Nice.
December 21st of 2020.
You got a future tour star in your hands, I bet.
He's been swinging a golf club since he's like 9 months.
Really?
Yeah.
He's got a little grip and everything. Like he can do it.
Yep. Yeah.
That's going to be epic to watch.
Yeah. He's all into it. He comes close to a golf club and he grabs it and he's like swinging. Yeah.
He knows what's up.
And he grabs it and goes.
Yeah.
He's a riot. It's been fun to hang around. It's tough to leave home now.
I bet. Yeah. Having a wife and a kid. Wow. Yeah. Life comes at you fast. But that's gotta be really fulfilling. I mean, you just got a good bit of time at home with them, obviously in the off season. And I love the break that they give you all, you know, when you play those first four or five or whatever, and then it's just like chill time. So just kind of go home and, because I mean, were those five in a row, or were there like a week off peppered in there?
No, they do Wednesday to Sunday.
Oh, that's now. Right.
Yeah. So no, Sunday to Wednesday. Sorry.
Yeah.
And on the first two, so we had off Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then Panama was on Monday. So yeah. I got to see them 4 days before I went to Panama.
Come back to San Antonio and hang out.
They would get. They go to Mexico when I leave for more than 3 weeks.
So oh, really?
They spend time with my in-laws. Yeah.
Cool. And your wife is from Mexico as well?
Yeah.
Nice. When did you meet your wife? Like, I know that was obviously post college. Y'all weren't like college sweethearts or anything, right?
No. We met on the national team. She used to be a golfer too.
No big deal. Okay, that solidifies it. Your son's going to be on the PGA Tour in 17 years. That's sick. I did not realize that.
Yeah.
Which is really cool. You got two seasons on the PGA Tour. I'm excited for a lot more. I think your game's primed. You got four or five cuts this year. I always harp on the cuts. And if you throw in an 18th, it's trending. And so anyways.
How many years you got on the tour?
Four
years.
Yeah. So I get a little something at 45, apparently. So I'll about to be 36. So I'm gaining on it.
Are you going to go? Are you going to try the Champions Tour?
I mean, I'm going to start grinding right now. I just had a little lull after I, you know, started putting weird, but now, you know, I'm back and I'm starting to feel good again. Like, you know, got back in the gym, you know, eating right. You know, I'm just making some big changes, not boozing right now. Taking a little break from the alcohol. So yeah, I'm feeling a lot better. I'm 20 yards longer off the tee after I stopped. I gotta be something like 114 right now. I swear.
That always helps.
Yeah. If I can whip it around in the teens, then who knows? I mean, I'm literally out there hitting balls. I'm still putting like shit, but I'm like, Q school is not that far off. I'd have to go back to first. I mean, I'm at the bottom rung. I might as well be 22 years old again, but yeah, I'm coming for your ass next year. How about that?
But it's there. I mean,
yeah, I just got to dig it out. Yeah. It takes some time, but yeah, I mean, between lessons and the junior tour, I do have plenty of time off. So why not grind and try to get back? I mean, everybody loves a comeback story.
Go see Ramon.
Yeah, dude, I need to. The putting, is definitely the question mark. So, and the irons, I wouldn't say I stripe them quite as much as I used to, but the driver's great. So, and I'm starting to nip it around the greens. Probably not as much as you and Abe, but can you hang with him in 21? Do y'all play like 21 chipping contests? And
yeah, we do.
Do you beat him regularly?
No, I think it goes back and forth.
Yeah,
it goes back and forth.
If we
get all in it, if we pay attention to it, and we had the right amount of money in the line, we go back and forth.
I think that game helps chipping. I used to play with Berger all the time, and I don't think I ever beat him one time.
No.
But I'd get like 18 points, you know, so I was hanging in there. But he was like 22 and just headed to this. And I know Abe, he nips, like he hits the low jizzer as good as anybody. But, I mean, you're pretty much there as well, I would assume.
Yeah, he hits a fade. I hit a draw.
Yeah.
So,
really?
Yeah, I tried to draw it.
You draw your flop shots?
I draw everything.
Just hitting the inside corner of the ball?
That's right.
Fucking right.
Well, cool. Release that right hand.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, I mean, you're using the bounce, basically, right? You're just like dumping it perfect.
Yep.
So you like, is your wrist, your left wrist straight at impact, or are you cupping that thing already?
I don't think of that.
Yeah, that's too mechanical. I don't want to mess you up. maybe in this podcast I can ruin your chipping. put some poison in your brain. I don't think that's going to happen. But, well, dude, this was a pretty solid little hour. You know, I know you got a wife and kid. I know the baby's in bed, but I don't want to keep you too long. And it was really good to talk to you, man.
Thank you. Whenever you have you want to have me back or have a call, just let me know.
Yeah, I will. Once you win Chitty Macha again, we'll get you back on. And Renner, you can listen to his shtick too next time. So
yeah, he's pretty entertaining. I'm sure his accent can hang with the best.
Oh, it's the shit. That's why I wanted to do this, because like I'm from Bama. Not that I have like a redneck accent or anything, but like just. When you got him on the airwaves, like his interview that he did with Spencer last week was awesome. I fell behind a little bit, but Renner's so damn funny, and he doesn't really have to try at all.
Is he making a comeback too?
I mean, he's playing a lot, and he lives on Orange Tree, you know, down in Jamlando. He plays golf every day. He played a moonlight this morning, and he has food poisoning. So
how did he do?
I didn't ask. He would have told me if it went well, I think. He's just a golf man. You know, he plays every day. It's like a younger group of dudes down there. I miss Florida like so much. I wish I wouldn't have got rid of that house in Jupe. It's probably worth $1 million now after COVID. I got hosed. I sold that house like 2 months before the pandemic kicked in.
You should have kept it a year and you might be a millionaire.
I know. Whatever. I'll survive. Well, yeah, maybe you can guest host one time. You know, whenever you have a break or something, you should hop on and we can bring Abe on. Yeah. And you can be the guest host.
I can tell Abe.
Yeah. That'd be a trip. Yeah, dude, that's about it. Thanks for coming on to your time. It was great to catch up.
Thank you. The tour.
Yeah, that's right. You are now officially on the tier time. Have a good night, brother. It was good to see you.
You too, man. Have a good one.
Later.
Bye.
All right. There concludes episode 5. Roberto Diaz, one of the best players that Mexico has right now on the planet. It was great to have him on. And tier time just rolling. That was a great guest. I'm excited for next week. This episode is brought to you by Sub 70. We've got a giveaway, giving away a putter. So follow all our accounts, Sub 70, mine, Renner's, and Roberto's. And when we post the episode, retweet it and write a funny comment. And use the hashtag TierTimeSub70. And whoever sends the funniest or most random comment over is going to get a putter from Sub 70. So enjoy. Stay tiered.